Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship in the ministry of BBFOhio.com and part two of our three-part study titled 2016 Prophecy Watch List.
The earth sets themselves and the rulers take counsel together. How many of you have heard of this UN Security Council? It's like yesterday's news, or tomorrow's newspaper, I should say. The Bible is an amazing book, folks.
Amen.
It's amazing. The language is even the same. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. I'll come back to that in a second. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The word anointed means that the Spirit of God is on that person moving them. You and I have an anointing. This is a different anointing. And the anointed are under the hand of God being drawn back to their land. Zechariah, and I believe it's Zechariah 13, says that one-third will survive.
Yeah, that's right.
And that one-third will be saved, Romans 11, 25 to 27. That's why when I see this Eliah going on, I have mixed emotions, to be honest with you, because it thrills me to see folks be able to get their homeland back, and it thrills me to see the prophecy being fulfilled. But I look and I wonder which ones of those are going to survive.
Yeah.
And it's real, folks. Numbers 23:9, even Balaam, under the anointing of God, he was a false prophet.
Yeah, amen.
Mm-hmm. But under the anointing of God, he did speak true prophecy. That's just a fact. Numbers 23:9, he's prophesying and he says, for from the top of the rocks I see him, talking about Messiah. And from the hills I behold him. Lo, now he changes to the nation. The people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. What's that mean? I think, first of all, they're already the outcast.
Yeah. Amen.
So what are you looking for? Well, I thought I had a screen there. You're looking for a time when Israel is going to be removed from the United Nations. And I believe that's going to happen possibly before the rapture.
Yeah.
But we see it's already in the works. You can already see the fulfillment of that prophecy taking place now. Now, here's something. Science, falsely so-called, will increasingly prevail. And you may not understand, and I don't have time to go into all the details today, but you may not understand how all this threads together, but it does. And they're just like in Nazi Germany, there is a DNA case being made against the Jews.
Wow.
In addition to DNA and genetic modification to human beings. And when you see the little E.T. character in that movie, you know, you sit back and be honest. That's an ugly little freak. Oh. That should have scared people. But you know why I think they made him look like that? Because I believe by that time they are already using clone technology and coming up with those freaky things out in the middle of nowhere somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And now when you hear people saying, I saw this thing and it looked like this big head and this body with long arms, not aliens. They're not coming from another country and another planet. But well, we have aliens from other countries. We do have those. But they look human. Don't act human sometimes, but they look human. But they didn't come from another planet. And if you, we'll talk about that more. We'll get into that at some point. But I just believe it's from a mixture of science and occult.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. Abortion. Abortion is tied into pseudoscience, the occult, sexual immorality, rebellion against God.
Yeah. Amen.
The fable is being taught in all the schools and most churches and on TV constantly that the fetus is only a blob of tissue and life begins when the mother decides it begins. That's it. You take the same woman and if she's 4 months pregnant and decides to abort that baby, she calls it a fetus and kills it. You take the same woman at 4 months along and she says, my baby kicked me for the first time. I don't know if they do that 4 months or not. You women can correct me. But as you say, I went to an ultrasound, I saw my baby. You see the difference? It was just in her attitude. She decided that this thing was a baby, so it's a baby. But if she decides to kill it, it's a fetus. Well, let me show you this, 1 John. I want to show you this. This is what true science shows. That's the egg being fertilized. These bright flashes of light mark the incredible moment when life begins. Now, it'll give you a couple of different angles. An explosion of sparks erupts from the egg when it meets the sperm. The moment it is fertilized. Scientists had seen this occur in other animals, but this is the first time they'd seen it in a human egg. Look at that. Now watch this thing just with life. Watch that. In less than 2 minutes. Or less than 2 seconds. Isn't that amazing? That's science, folks. Observed science. If you can't observe it, it's not science, it's theory.
Amen.
Yeah, what did you say?
Yeah. Well, the word fetus is Latin for baby.
It is, but in English it doesn't mean baby. That's the thing. You have to not just look at what a word used to mean, but how do people use the word now?
Correct.
So they are, by their own confession, they're actually calling it a baby.
Yeah.
But they define it in our language as not a baby.
Correct.
But they'll answer for that, won't they?
Yeah. Amen.
They'll give an account. So you just saw the difference between science, which is the pro-life message that life begins at conception, compared to science fiction. Science fiction is pro-abortion, pro-choice. Everyone, and I don't care what makes it. Listen, folks, if someone here, someone listening, has had an abortion, God forgives.
Amen.
But the thing to do is not to double down on your sin. If you've had an abortion, you confess it. Receive the forgiveness of God and then be honest with people and speak the truth.
Amen.
That's what you do. But not these days. Everybody just doubled down on their sin and defends what they do. Another one is evolution. Science falsely so-called. Now, I'm going to show you a little clip because I think about half of you have never seen this. The others have seen it, but you'll like it anyway. But the fable is nothing exploded and eventually evolved into everything we see.
Yeah.
Nothing exploded.
That's my favorite movie.
Yes, it is. If you haven't seen this before, we paid a lot of money for professional narration. Not really. It was me. But this is our little movie.
Once upon a time, there was nothing. That's right, nothing. And it exploded. You see, Darwinian science teaches that space, time, and matter are not eternal. So at some point, there had to be nothing. And since Darwinian science denies any sort of creator God, then we are back to nothing. But within this nothing, we are told that matter appeared from out of nowhere. So nothing produced matter from out of nowhere. But not just a little matter, but all the matter that ever has been or ever will be appeared in the form of a tiny speck. So let's start there. Once upon a time, long, long ago, there was a tiny speck. That's all there was. It came from nothing out of nowhere, and that's all there was. There was no space or time, just a speck smaller than an atom. A speck that was so incomprehensibly dense with matter that it contained everything you see and do not see in the universe. Yet, it was so small that it could not be seen by the naked eye. But it was there. The priesthood of Darwin, that we call scientists, like to call this speck the cosmic egg. Not an egg laid by a cosmic chicken, but just a cosmic egg produced from nothing out of nowhere. But because this cosmic egg is so small, some have preferred to call it the cosmic pea. Others prefer some other name, so there it was, all alone. Our tiny little heavyweight universe, the size of a speck you could not see. Where did it come from? Who or what put it there? And if the universe did not exist except in the form of this tiny speck so small it could not be seen, where is there? What was this nursery that held our tiny little overweight universe in limbo from an unknown origin and for the duration of what could have been immeasurable numbers of billions or trillions of years? If space did not exist, but the cosmic pea was there, where is there?
Just a few minutes. This is an Outpost bulletin. Be on the lookout for there. It was there, but we don't know where. Over.
And who or what put there? There. And who or what is the who or what that put there? There. Let us just call the who or the what that put there, there, in order to place the cosmic pea there by the name of it. We are to believe that it put the cosmic pea in a place that was there even though there was nothing there. How could it have been there if there was nothing there? If you are beginning to feel lost, confused, or simply acquiring a headache, you should know that scientific inquiry must lead us even further into a time and a place where time did not exist and there was nothing there to call a place a place. So we are to believe that it made a place we call there that wasn't there, and place the cosmic pea there, where nothing existed except this cosmic pea. The cosmic pea was a speck so small that it could not be seen by the naked eye, but it was there, and there is a place that did not exist, but was put there by a who or what we call it, since we have no idea who or what it is. And that, dear children, is the theoretical basis upon which the Darwinian theory of the origin of the universe rests. For obvious reasons, the Darwinians attempt to divorce the theory of the origin of species from the origin of the universe. But those of us who have not suspended logic and reason remain resolute to demand that they deal honestly and fairly with the fact that they believe and teach that something was there in a place that wasn't there, and that this something exploded and produced the wondrous, expansive, organized, and beautiful universe teeming with life and order that we now see. That is truly a fairy tale for grown-ups. I don't know about you, but I don't have that much faith. I will continue to believe in the Creator God, whose name is Jesus.
So at the music while I'm telling it. That is called science. And it's funny because there was a song in the 80s. I'll turn it down a little bit. There was a song in the 80s and the guy said, "I was blinded with science." Remember that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
"She blinded me with science." You remember that? That's how it goes. What a fitting song for this generation.
Yeah.
It's true. They've been blinded by science, so falsely so-called. And then upon that fable is built this idea that rock and gas mixed in a soup and got struck by lightning and came to life. That's what Philip said. Science falsely so-called. And that's what's being taught in the schools. It's being taught in media. It's being on the news. You can't even watch cartoons. I've shown where Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd, and these guys, even back in the good old days, would talk about evolution as though it was a fact.
Yep.
And the evolution of the planetary systems and all that, like it's fact.
Well, consider your source there when Bugs Bunny tells you something.
Well, he's usually trustworthy, though. But two well-known scientists calculated the odds of life forming by natural processes. I'm not talking about the Christian, Institute for Creation Research. I'm talking about atheists. And they estimated that there is less than one chance in 10 to the 40,000 power that life could have originated by random trials. That's, you take, do this at home. We don't have time for you to try it here. Put the number 10 on a piece of paper and write 40,000 zeros after it.
Wow.
And we'll see you next year. How many of you have heard of Fred Hoyle? He's the one who said it. Quote, life cannot have had a random beginning. The chance of obtaining them all in a random trial is only one part in 10 to the 40,000 power, an outrageously small probability that could not be faced even if the whole universe consisted of organic soup. Which obviously they believe it was just small pockets, small areas that could have even been organic soup. Now listen to what he says here. If one is not prejudiced either by social beliefs or by scientific training into the conviction that life originated on the earth, this simple calculation wipes the idea entirely out of court. So he converted and became a Christian, right?
No,
he didn't. What did he do? Evolution from space. That's what he turned to, the idea of what's called panspermia. That some aliens, yeah, and you're exactly right. He says that life on Earth was planted here by an alien source. What Charlie said. It still requires the same random chance on some other planet. You don't solve anything with the idea that Earth had its life planted here from some other place. Doesn't solve anything. You eventually have to reach back to the point where there was a beginning and that life had to appear from somewhere. And that's science, falsely so called. It will continue to increase and prevail. You're going to live in a world of superstition, folks. We're already there. We're living in a world of superstition. But they'll call you superstitious. This transgenderism thing. If you say that a man cannot become a woman, you're a bigot. Well, then I'm a bigot, but at least I'm not stupid. Amen, amen, amen. We're talking science here this morning. The fable is that if you take female hormones, grow you some breasts, we call them man boobs, have surgeries, and then a man becomes a woman. You know that song? When a man loves a woman. I'm expecting it to come out and say, when a man becomes a woman. And Bruce Jenner will walk out on stage. I got news for you, Bruce. You're still a man. This is science. Dr. Barry Starr, Stanford University, wrote in a paper called DNA Basics. Quote, no amount of surgery, hormone injections, or anything else will change someone's DNA from a man's to a woman's or vice versa. A transgender man who claims to be a woman walks in the bathroom with a woman, that's a man in there with a woman. And the men in this country ought to grow a spine and say, never. Never. And I don't go to Target, I haven't for a long time because they've been sodomite for years. But they've gone down the toilet. And some of these other groups are doing the same thing. But if I go in a place and my wife or my daughters or some, one of my female relatives walks in a restroom and some dude in a dress tries to walk in there after him, he's going to be stopped.
Amen.
And then you can take up an offering and bail me out.
Amen. And if I see him, I'll scream like the devil.
Yeah, that's what the women ought to do, especially if you're alone. So we're going to watch for science to continue to develop into a dogmatic doctrine of pagan fables. It's already done, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. Fake science is what Timothy was warned about by Paul. Keep that which is committed to thy trust and avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called.
Amen.
Keep that phrase in your mind. Science, falsely so-called.
Yep.
That's the majority of what... And let me tell you this, folks. The education system is not about educating your children. It's about brainwashing them. And even in their science classrooms, they do not teach science. They brainwash them. They spend all their time trying to turn them into environmental activists. And they want them to do that not because they care about the earth, because God's Word says those are the people He's going to come back and destroy, and they destroy the earth. The reason they want your children to be environmental activists is because that makes them good socialists. And that then turns them into puppets to be used by the elite who then can tax everybody to death. And that's what's going on. Romans 1:21-22, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools.
Wow.
That's where we are.
Amen.
And that's why you're going to see science continue to become fiction, theory that is baseless, non-observed, fables. And then the last major point I want to make is about money. Because what's behind all of this is money. People want to control you because of money, mammon. And it's not just digits or dollars, it's control, period. It's over your life. They want to control you. And they'll try to talk you into digitizing and giving chips. And some of us already talked about this digital chip they want to put in everybody. And they're going to sell it for security. Because what if something happened to your child? Wouldn't you want to find them? And in other words, if you don't let us chip your baby, you're a bad parent. You don't believe me? Take your dog to the vet.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
If you don't chip that puppy, you don't love your puppy. That's how they sell it.
Wow.
And I don't mind my puppy being chipped, but they're not going to chip my babies. And I'm 99.99999% sure that none of my grandbabies are going to be chipped. But they'll say it's for safety. And when the security and safety thing also goes into your bank account, they say, well, if you have a chip, it'll be less likely that your identity will be stolen and they can empty your bank account. No, that's not actually true. We're going to see in a minute. But the big seller to all the brainwashed, publicly educated children in this world is it's for the common good.
Forget wearable technology. Swedish office worker Lynn Kowalaska is having it implanted under her skin. A microchip about the size of a grain of rice is injected into her hand.
It felt pretty scary, but at the same time it felt very modern, very 2015.
Instead of ID cards or passcodes, workers who sign up for the implant can now open doors with the wave of a hand. The chip also currently lets workers swap contact details via a smartphone and operate a photocopier. Patrick Mesterton, co-founder of the Epicenter Tech Hub in central Stockholm, sees plenty of future applications for the implant.
Like anything where you today would use a PIN code or a key or a card. So payments is, I think, one area. I think also for healthcare reasons that you can sort of... communicate with your doctor and you can get data on what you eat and sort of what your physical status is.
The radio frequency identification chip is made from pirate's glass and contains an antenna and microchip with no need for batteries. While some workers may feel uneasy at the prospect of literally taking their work home with them, the designers say the chip is completely safe and secure.
You have your own identification code and you're sending that to something else which you have to grant access to. So there's no one else that can sort of follow you on your ID, so to say. It's you who decide who gets access to that ID.
The chip is in no way mandatory, and the limited benefits the implant currently offers may put many people off. But with wearable tech becoming more ubiquitous, the merging of biology and technology could represent a growing trend.
Common commune communist. The collective. And if you are more concerned with you and your family than you are the collective, then you're just a bad person. I'm a bad boy because I don't give a flip about the collective. I don't. You know why? The Bible tells me to preach the gospel. And if they'll believe, they're welcome in. You're saved. The Bible says if any man will not work, he shouldn't eat.
Right.
The collective says feed him anyway. Communism is antichrist. And the fable is that digital cashless systems will benefit all and will decrease crime. Well, again, I'm not running off to a Christian bookstore to get this. This is from CNBC website, Scott A. Shea, who's chairman of Signature Bank. When you can get a bankster to admit to something, you've got something. And he says, no, he's not. He's telling you the truth here. Quote, a cashless society would certainly give governments unprecedented access to information and power over citizens. Currently, we have little evidence to indicate that governments will refrain from using this power. Really? You don't trust your government? What's wrong with you? On the contrary, he says, the U.S. government is already using its snooping prowess and big data manipulation in some frightening ways, end quote. And let me tell you, I don't know if he's still alive, but there's been an awful lot of these kind of guys turning up dead over the last few years. If you're a bankster, but you won't, if you're in a position to be a bankster, and you won't go along with the program. Yeah, say, can we say that till right after? I want to get through to the material. Watch for implementation of chips and propaganda to convince the masses to accept them. And if you haven't already seen this, it's already out there. It's been on the major news networks. But in Europe and in Africa and South America, it's a huge thing already. The coming cashless system, we're told about it in Revelation 13, 16, says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. A mark. And it says in. In. There's another place where it says on. I believe it's going to be in, and there's going to be a visible mark as well. But it says both in the Scripture. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. As you see the world system being set up for that, you know you're getting close to seeing Jesus.
Amen.
And note, this will not be the mark of the beast that we're seeing right now. This is just chips. It will not be the mark of the beast until the number of the beast is implemented. But I'm against it. Amen? Yes. I'm against it because of invasion of privacy. And I don't want to play a part in the setup. Amen. Even though it's not yet the mark of the beast. But here is wisdom. And this is how you know. When the chip involves this, then you're dealing with the mark of the beast. And that this comes after the rapture and the confirmation of the covenant in Daniel 9:24-27 with the Antichrist. Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And it's no accident that the majority of people on radio and TV calling themselves preachers today are trying to confuse people on this. The new versions, if you go to the new versions, the footnotes at least, and sometimes in the text, will tell you it's actually 616. And they base that on the Vatican text. A corrupt Bible produces corrupt translation. Stick to your King James Bible. If not, you're asking to be fooled. So let's close with a quick rundown of our prophecy watch list. The stage is being set. So we watch for increasing apostasy, leaving Christians with shrinking associations, and we're seeing that. We hear from people all the time. Some of you drove a distance today. Why? Because to find a real church that preaches the Bible is getting difficult. And we hear from people all over the world and all over the country. There are people watching right now live on Facebook. The reason we're doing that is because they can't find a good church. It's going to get worse before it gets better, folks. I hate to tell you. Just a fact.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.